This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. Glad that you're with us today. I just remind you that we need to hear from our listeners on a regular basis that we can have the support necessary to stay on all of these stations. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217.
Thank you.
Today we come to John chapter 21, looking at verses 1 to 14, the subject, breakfast with Jesus. According to many doctors, breakfast is an important meal. It's certainly important to me because I expect to have three meals before the day is over. I'm not one who likes to skip any. I've heard people say, oh, I just don't have any appetite for breakfast, or I don't feel like I need breakfast. But evidently, if that is a continuous habit, it can be detrimental to your health. We need to think about nourishing our bodies properly. But no matter what your personal opinion may be about breakfast, you can imagine that to have breakfast with Jesus would be a notable experience. And that's my subject this morning, breakfast with Jesus. We turn to John chapter 21. Read beginning with the first verse. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his father's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. First thing we would note here is the unsuccessful labor of the disciples. The fishing trip. Now there are diverse opinions among expositors about what was really occurring here as far as Peter was concerned. Some feel that Peter was simply waiting for instructions, and since Jesus was not present at that time, he did not want to be idle, and he was a very active man, as we have learned in reading about him at other times in the gospel. And so he was just doing what would seem to be the right thing so that he was active and doing something that could be potentially worthwhile by going fishing. Others, though, believe that he was actually making a decision to return to his occupation. He had been a fisherman by trade,
He had turned from it to follow Jesus, and now it is speculated that he is disheartened by the turn of events, and although he has seen Jesus in his resurrected form, he still may be greatly perplexed, and for whatever reason is returning to his old trade. Those who believe that are influenced by what is said in John 16:32, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, now is come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." When it speaks then of being scattered to his own, the assumption is made that they would not just be going to their home per se, but scattered to their previous jobs, going to their own pursuit of life. But for whatever the reason, we find that Peter led the way, and the disciples have gone with him fishing. But then we note also that they caught nothing. They were skilled fishermen. They knew that the best time for fishing, particularly in that area, was at night. So that's what they were doing. And there is nothing wrong with fishing. Maybe some here that are devoted fishermen that enjoy going. I've had experience of both kinds in my time. We lived near a pond when I was a child, and all we had was a cane pole and a hook, and it was rather boring to stand on the side of the pond and hope that a fish would find you. They seldom did. On the other hand, I was with a man down off the coast of Miami one time who had some kind of a gadget on his boat that could find fish. And that was exciting because he would find them, and no sooner did you throw the line out till you had a bite and you could hardly keep up with it pulling in the fish. Well, to be a fisherman is a noble trade, and nothing wrong with doing it as a recreation or a hobby. But Jesus had instructed these disciples to follow him. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And straightway left their nets and followed him. You're fishing now, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. So this was what was to be their object in life: preaching the gospel, laboring as an evangelist, getting the message out. To go back to fishing would be a reversal of where they at one point had committed. We're now leaving our boat, leaving our nets, leaving our trade. We are going to follow Jesus. In fact, he had told them to go to Galilee after his resurrection, and he would see them there. So it does appear, at least, that Peter is a little impatient, impetuous as he often was. Rather than waiting for the appearance of Jesus and to receive specific instructions about what he should be doing, he decides to go fishing. And the other disciples are very ready to follow along and go with him. Jesus did not bless this fishing effort. He's in control and no doubt kept the fish from entering their net. They knew how to fish. They knew where to be. They knew all the techniques. But not one fish staggered into their net all night. So when Jesus says children, which also may be interpreted lads, he wasn't putting them down. Young men, do you have any fish? They had to answer, no, we haven't caught any. No fish. Jesus was going to teach them a lesson. They had to admit their need. They had to admit their emptiness. Now, there's some lessons in this for us to learn. We see failure when they're trying to accomplish things according to their own plan and in their own strength. What a difference when they are obediently following the instruction given by Jesus. Whether they just arbitrarily make the decision, we're going fishing, it didn't turn out well. They didn't catch anything. How many times have you experienced that? You embarked upon some plan. You assumed that since there really wasn't anything wrong with it, it seemed good to you that God must be in it. Well, God is not always in everything that in and of itself may be good. It may not be good for us, or it may not be the time that God has appointed for that project to go forward. And so if we're acting on our own impulse and according to our own desire, we can expect that at the end of it, we'll have to say, like the disciples did, "Do you have any fish?" We'll have to say, "No, we have not been successful." We need to remember the words of Jesus when he says, "Without me, you can do nothing." That's true in your planning. That's true in your activities. That's true in every detail of life. Without him, only as you abide in him, can you do anything that is good and worthwhile and will bring honor to his name. Now, the second thing we observe here, the results of obedience. When they admit, "We have no fish," then Jesus gives them a command and says, "Let down the net on the right side of the boat." Now, obviously, those fish didn't know the left side from the right side. But the Lord was in control of this whole situation. And when they, in obedience to his command, let down the net fills up. The fish were directed there by divine sovereignty. And of course, it brings to mind an event that had occurred earlier in the experience of the disciples. Back in Luke chapter 5, we read in the 4th verse, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing." First, it sounded like Peter was going to argue with the Lord. "Lord, do you understand? We've been out here all night. We're fishermen. We know what we're doing, and we haven't caught anything." But he caught himself. He says, "Nevertheless, at thy word." Oh my. Now we have to stop. When we may be making excuses, we may be rereading the word of God of what the Lord expects of us, and we say, "I can't do it that way. I'm not comfortable with that. That's not the way I've always done it." Peter said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Peter didn't see it was a logical thing to do, but because the Lord said do it, that gave every reason to do it. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." When you really get a view of the greatness of God, of the glory of Jesus Christ, that's going to be the response. Isaiah responded that way. When he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." Peter sees this display of the Lord's power to fill up that net with fish, and he says, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Lord, I cannot abide in thy presence." So when they follow his instructions, he blesses with an abundant catch. I like these words by A.W. Pink. "Was it not he, by his invisible power, that drew the fishes into their net? And what a striking line is this picture to Christian service. how he tells the servants that success in their ministry is due not to their eloquence, their power of persuasion, or their anything, but due alone to his sovereign drawing power. End of quote. How true. If we ever get the point that we think it's because we're so knowledgeable, we're so skilled, we have such abilities of our own that we can effectively minister to others and be a blessing to them and witness to those who may not know the Lord, we're certainly not understanding the lesson here, that there must be the work of God to make any service acceptable unto him. And back in our passage in John 21, it says in the sixth verse that because the net was full, they were unable to draw it to the land. But in verse 10, it tells us that Peter later did it by himself. But let's notice the 10th verse. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. What made the difference? Here were six men trying to pull this net full of fish into the land. They couldn't do it. But now Peter is in the presence of Jesus. He goes now to pull in the net from a place of submission and dependence upon Jesus. And he pulls in the net. What a difference when we're in the presence of the Lord, when we spend time with him. Remember the words of the apostle when he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Surely, we often have such a great sense of our weakness. We wonder whether we can accomplish the good works that we know should be a part of our daily life. But the more we're able to see our need, the more we should be driven diligently to prayer and ask the Lord for the grace and strength and the wisdom that we need so to be able to serve him effectively.
Oh,
Today we brought you the first portion of a message entitled Breakfast with Jesus. If you would like information about other messages from this series, request that when writing us, or you can go to our website at baptistbiblehour.org. If you're writing, our address is Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Now, until we greet you next time, this is LeSaire Bradley Jr. bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect salvation, all is at rest. Savior, I'm happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His grace.